Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Chaf Dedim and Aleph, the middle of the Mishnah. It's really, again, Sefer Mishnayot in the Mishnah. Over here in the Gemara, they put them all together. What we had spoken about so far is the Trumat HaDeshen, the person who had won the lot to do the Trumat HaDeshen. He had done the process of Trumat HaDeshen, then the other Kohanim came, and they were Misader, the top of the Mizbeach. They took off all the things that hadn't been burnt yet. They pushed all the ashes into the middle to create the tapuach in the middle of the mizbeah. Heichelu malin b'gzirin masaderet emaracha. They started to bring up the logs of wood put on the maracha to create the pyre. V'chi chol yitzim ksherim the maracha. Are all pieces of wood, all types of wood, good for the maracha, for the pyre? Hey, chol yitzim ksherim the maracha. Anything, you can use any type of wood you want for the pyre. Chutz, mishel gefen, mishel zayit. Except for grapevines and olive wood. Aval be'elu ayu regulim. These are the ones, are the type of wood that they used to use. Marbiot shel teina. The branches of the fig tree. Shel goz of the walnut tree, or the nut tree. Shel etz shemen, and the fire tree, or the tree seems to be the wood that burnt very well. See there at the maracha gedola, mizracha, they set up the large pyre on the eastern side, v'chazita mizracha, and had a window towards the east. So in the mizbeach, the ramp came up on the southern side. So as you turn to the right, on the eastern side of the mizbeach, when you came up the mizbeach, in the center there, they used to set up the pyre, the maracha gdola, with the logs reaching from the tapuach in the middle outward towards the edge of the mizbeach. And it used to go east-west, the logs, as well as the fact that there was some sort of window that was left open on the eastern side, we'll see in the Gemara, was to allow air to flow through to help stoke the fire, as well as an area for them to light the kindling that were underneath the logs. V'sheg v'zirim apnimim ayudogim betapuach. The edge of the logs on the inside, towards the west, touched the tapuach, which was in the center of the mizbeach. Reva chaya ben agzrim, there was space between these logs, shayu mitzitin et adaliyata misham, that they used to put inside of that the kindling that allowed them to light the pyre. Beru misham atzei teina yafim, they picked some of the best wood from the fig tree. Sideret amracha shnialik torit. Then after they had put together, taken care of the logs, the two logs that were put on the main pyre, they then set up the secondary pyre. The secondary pyre was for the ktoret. Ktoret was placed on the mizbeach hazahav, the internal mizbeach. They used to take coals from the mizbeach hachitzon and place them on the mizbeach hazahav in order to have the ktoret inside. So this secondary pyre was placed keneged marvit romit on the southwestern corner, mashuch min hakeren, Klapetz Afon, pulled away from the corner. Arba Amot, 4 Amot away from that corner. So as Mefaresh explains, that this Tana believes that Kulei Mizbeach B'Tzafon. The entire Mizbeach was in the northern side of the Azara. The Azara, if you take a line that bisects it east-west, it was evenly divided between the north and the south. And that means that the door to the Azara, Shar Niknor, the door to the Ulam, as well as the door to the Echal, were all half in the south, half in the north. They were centered along the east-west bisecting line. There's a machloket between the Tanaim, numbers of shitot, about where the placement of the Mizbeach is. There's one who believes Kulo B'Darom, Rubo B'Darom, Kulo B'Tzalfon, Rubo B'Tzalfon. We have all different types of opinions. The opinion that's found here in this Mishnah is that the entire Mizbeach is in the Tzafon. The entire Mizbeach is found on the northern side. That means that the line that bisects the doorways, the Mizbeach was found on the other side of that line, to the north. And because of that, the first 5 Amot of the Mizbeach were actually keneged Petach HaEichal, keneged the doorway of the Heichal. There's a requirement that this pyre, this secondary pyre, be lifnei Hashem, before Hashem. Lifnei Hashem means before the Heichal. The doorway to the Heichal is 10 Amot wide. 5 Amot to the north side, 5 Amot to the south side. Well, the entire Mizbeach is all the way in the north. So in order for this pyre to be lifnei Hashem, it's got to match up with the 5 Amot in the north side that is the doorway of the Heichal. So the only way they can put this is 4 Amot in. And that is because the Mizbeach is actually made up of different layers. We saw this before in Zvachim that the Mizbeach is actually made up of a Yisod, a Sovev. Then you have the Kranot. Then you have the Makom Hiluch Raglei HaKohanim. So all of these take up space. So the Yisod is one Amah. The Sovev is also an Amah. Then the Keren, the Kranot, the corners, they also take up an Amah. And then the Makom Raglei Chiluch Raglei HaKohanim, the place where the Kohanim walk, also take up an Amah. So the first four Amot, you can't paste the pyre because they're used for some, either they're not on the top of the Mizbeach or they're utilized for something else. It's only into that fifth Amah that you can place this pyre. What this Tana is saying, you must place that pyre in the fifth Amah because otherwise it will not be Lifnei Hashem. Because once you move beyond five Amot, you're past the doorway to the Heichal. You're past the doorway to the Heichal, it's no longer Lifnei Hashem. So that's why it says here that you have to push to the north, Arba Amot. Four Amot away from the edge, the southern side of the Mizbeach. Be'omed, the amount of wood that they put there was Chamesh Sa'in Gichalim, and the amount to create five Sa'ah worth of coals. Obishabbat, Be'omed Shmona Sa'im. On Shabbat, they used to make sure that it made eight Sa'ah of Gichalim, because they needed not only for the Ktoret that was done on Shabbat like every other day, but because they also needed Vishamayunot Nim Shnei Bazichelum Venash Alechem Apanim. Lechem HaPanim, which are on the Shulchan, were eaten on Shabbat. They were taken off on Shabbat. But before they could be eaten, the matir for the Lechem HaPanim are the Bazichei Livona, the cups of frankincense that are on the Shulchan. Those cups of frankincense have to be placed on the Mizbeach. They were placed on this pyre. So they needed extra coals to have them placed on this pyre.
Why?
So you're asking, why couldn't they be put on the Maracha Gdola? Just put them on the regular pyre. Because they scoop, but those coals were taken inside for the Mizbeach HaZahav to be used. Right, or they're not sufficient to use the Bazich HaLibonah. That pyre, the five sub coals were scooped up, bring in to put on the Mizbeach HaZahav, put the Ketorah on, so they're not there. Number two is you can't put on the Maracha Gdolah because that's not Lifnei Hashem. Since it's not Lifnei Hashem, it doesn't qualify for putting the Bazich HaLibonah. Therefore, they increased the volume of wood to create more coals. So after they did the Ketorah, there would still be coals left to put on the Bazich HaLibonah and Mizbeach. Havirim ve'apidarim mishlo nitaklu. The limbs from the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, as well as any of the fats that were left over from any other korbanot that were not consumed, remember, they pulled them away to pile up the tapuach and to clear up the mizbeach. Once they've reset everything and redone the major pyre, they put them back on the mizbeach. And then they lit the two marachot with fire. And then they went down to Lishkata's gazit. The Mefaresh says that he thinks that they first put on the new tamid first, that this is out of order. It's just because it's consistent with the Mishnah here, the beginning of the Mishnah that they wrote it here, but really they put on the Tamid first, and then, after they were Maktir, the new Tamid Shel Shachar, then they put all the other Evarim of the overnight back on, but from the order of the Mishnah, it sounds like they put the other Evarim on first, and then only put the Evri Tamid on. The reason they went back down to Lishkata Gazit, Mefaresh says, is because they have to do a pious, they have to do more lots. The lots must be done b'kodesh in the Azara, but not directly in the Azara, which is not kavod to the Azara. So therefore they went down to Lishkat HaGazit. We'll also see what else they did in Lishkat HaGazit. Samar Rav Guzma. Our Mishnah is exaggeration. It's an exaggeration when it says that the Tapuach reached the point that it was 300 kur. That's an exaggeration. Hishkuet HaTamid b'koshel Zav. It's a Mishnah coming up, which is that they gave to feed Karban Tamid. They used to make a drink before they shechted it in order to be easier to flay the skins. So they gave it to drink out of a golden goblet. Amarava Guzma, he says it's also an exaggeration. Amaravi Ami, Dibra Torah Lashonavai, Dibra Nevi'im Lashonavai, Dibra Chachamim Lashonavai. Torah exaggerates, the Navi exaggerates, and so do the Chachamim. Dibra Torah Lashonavai, there's an exaggeration, the Torah Dichtiv, because it says in Dvarim that you're coming into a place where the nations that live there have arim gdolot b'tzurot b'shamayim, that they have these fortified cities that are fortified until the sky, until the heavens. B'shamayim salkadatcha? What do you think? That they really had walls that reached the sky? Hela guzma, it's an exaggeration. Divrei chachamim l'shon avai. The chachamim also use derech guzma. How do we know that? Hadamran. That's what we said. Tapuach b'shkuvet ha-tamid b'koshel zav. Case in our Mishnah where the tapuach reached 300 kur. As well as Vishkut Tami Bikoshal Zav. Dibru Nevi'im Lashon Havai. In the Navi, we also have this method of using exaggeration to describe something. Because over there it says, Dichtiv, Vayalu kolam acharav, Ve'a'am mechalalim mechalalim, Vatibaka ha'aretz lekolam. All the people were following him for the anointing, and they were playing with the flutes, and all the noise caused the ground to split open, as if there was an earthquake. So obviously, again, an exaggeration, but a demonstration of how loud was the sound of the coronation. Amar Rabbi, probably Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni, Amar Shmuel, B'shlosha Mekomot, Dibru Chachamim B'lashon Havai. The three places where the Chachamim spoke in an exaggerated manner. Ve'elohein. These are the examples. Tapuach, our Mishnah. Giffen. Again, we'll get to that later. It's a Mishnah coming up. The Gemara will explain what it is. Uparochet. Lafuke midrava. This is to come to exclude Rava. Rava said before that our Mishnah was Guzma, which was the Tapuach, as well as the upcoming Mishnah that talks about the fact that they gave the Tamid to drink from a Kosh Shel Zahav, from a golden goblet. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni does not list that in his list. He has these three, not the others. The Tanan, Yishkuet Tamid B'Kosh Shel Zahav, Amarava Guzma. Kamash Valan, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni says, Haniin, that these, the three that I listed, yes. The others, hatam lo, the others not. Why? In aniyut b'makom ashirut. We don't have demonstrations of poverty in a place that is supposed to be kavod Hashem, the palace, place where opulence and wealth are considered to be the standard. And therefore they did feed the karban tamid with the kosh shel zahav, because that was par for the course in such a place. We don't skimp when it comes to the klei hakodesh or anything that goes on within the context of the mikdash. Tapuach. What's the exaggeration of the tapuach? Adamran, that's our Mishnah. All these cases here use a term called 300. The number 300, the Gemara is saying, whenever it's used like that in the Mishnah, 300 is an exaggeration. So one example is ours, is tapuach. Our Mishnah that says that there were 300 kur of ashes on the Mizbeach and the tapuach. Exaggeration. Geffen. The case of the Geffen is the Tznan. Geffen zahav hayta umedet al petach ha'echal. So there was what we call today in the modern time an Eitz Chaim. You know, the tree of life that they have in the front of the shul where you can buy leaves and branches on it, that's how people donate money. They had a similar thing in the Beit HaMikdash. Behind the door of the Eichal, they had these golden tree, Umudla al-Gabi Klonosot, and it was held up by these beams or poles of erez, of cedar. B'chol Mishinit Nadevale, anybody who donates a leaf, Ogargir, or a grape, Oeshkol, or a bunch of grapes, Mevivitoleba. He brings it, and he hangs it on this tree. So they had these donations that were made to the Mikdash, gold that was donated to the Mikdash, and they used to have this Eitz Chaim that was held up by these Klonosot. That was not a violation of the Isur, of having Eitz, or buildings of Eitz, because it's not a building, even though it was wood that was holding it up. Nevertheless, it wasn't a binyan, or a part of the structure of the Mikdash, therefore it wasn't a violation of that. Some Rabbi Loz of Rabbi Talib Masaya, Benimnu Aleh Shlosh Meot Kohanim Lifnota. They had to get 300 Kohanim to take it out. It was so heavy they needed 300 Kohanim to carry it. Again, the Gemara says, Lashon Guzma. 300 is Lashon of Guzma. As the Mefarish points out, if it took 300 Kohanim to carry it out, it would have collapsed off its own weight and wouldn't have been able to stand there. So it's obviously a Terach Guzma. Parochet. The third thing that was an exaggeration was the Parochet, the Tanan. Shimon Gamliel Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Haskan, maybe. Parochet Ovyo Tefach. Parochet was a Tefach wide. Al Shivim Ushtaim Nimim. By 72 strings, Nereget. Al Kol Nima V'Nima Esrim V'Arba Chutim. Every string was 24 ply. That is because they used to take 6 ply for every min, for every type of string that was in there. Argaman Tolat Shani. Chelet and Sheish. And so those 4 strings each were 6 ply. So once you have 6 ply, 4 strings, it turns out to be 24 ply when you twist them all together. That's the type of strings that they were weaving with these 24 ply strings. Arkar Be'imama was 40 long and Rachba Esrim and 20 wide. And that's because that fits into, it was a separation, this parochet was used to separate between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim. The Heichal is 20 amot wide by 40 amot high. So in order for the parochet to cover that space, it was also 20 amot wide and 40 amot long. Umishmonim vishtayim ribo or revot nasit. So the question about the gears here, it's made from 82,000, which would be 820,000. Now, the most likely girsa here is not, you see in the Rosh, the girsa is ribot. Ribot means young maidens, young girls. They used to pick young girls who had yet to reach the point of Nida, in order that they would not be mitame the parochet. So either there were 820,000 of them, which would probably be another guzma, or we're talking about here that there were 82 revolt, which would be 82 young ladies that made it.
The Rosh brings an alternative girsa that it's 820,000 dinarei zahav, which was the expenditures that they had in making such a parochet, 820,000 gold coins.
Ushtaim osim b'chol shana v'shana, they made two each year. V'shlosh me'ot kohanim matbilin oto, and takes 300 kohanim, put it into the mikveh. Now first of all, what they did, two of them each year, is because of the problem in Bayit Sheni of the Amah Traksin. There was an Amah, the wall that separated between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodeshim was an Amah wide. Once they built the Bayit Sheni, the height of the Eichal was higher than the first Bayit, and that height created a problem that they could not support a wall of that height, 40 amot high, on a base of one Amah. So what they didn't know was which part of did the Amah belong to. Did the Amah belong to the Kodesh, or did it belong to the Kodesh and Kodeshim? In order to avoid that problem, what they ended up doing was hanging two parochot. They put up two curtains. One curtain on the edge of the Amah on the outside, one curtain on the other side of the Amah, and then there was a gap between them. One of them was opened on the northern side, and the other one was opened on the southern side, and the Kohen Gadol used to walk between them. You know that from the Mishnah and Yoma, used to enter, walk between them, then enter into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. That's what we call the Amah Traksin. That's why they made two parochot. That's why the Mefaresh says over here that he doesn't think that they were in Tefach wide, because then you'd have a problem. And it's only an Amah wide, which is five tefachim. If each parochot took up a tefach each, there would only be three tefachim left in between them, which would be too small for him to walk through. They had to put it into the mikveh. Why they had to put it into the mikveh? The Rosh over here asks, why do they have to put it into the mikveh? He says, didn't they just do it with girls that were not going to come to Tameh? So he says, one possibility is that Kelim anigmarim b'tara tzuchim tzvila l'kodesh. Any Keli that was finished, bitara, has to be tovel, you have to be tovel it for Kodesh. There was a way to bring it into the service of Kodesh, they had to take it to the mikveh. That's one possibility. The other possibility, since it was made out of pishtan, it also has sheish, or flax in it. We know from the Mishnayot that we read every Friday night in Bamei Madlikin, that sheish, even though it's part of a binyan, even though it's part of an ohel, it's nevertheless mikabel tuma, as opposed to other materials that are not mikabel tuma boel. The sheish is mekabel tumah when it's a part of a binyan. Therefore, over here, it also possibly could be mekabel tumah. The Mefaresh mentions the possibility that if they had so many girls working on it, it wasn't possible that one of them maybe pirsa nida, and therefore, that it made it tameh. So therefore, they had to be matbilet. But here it says it took 300 kohanim to be matbilet. Again, the number 300 is derech guzma. Hechelu me'alin b'gzirin l'sederet maracha. And we saw before that they use any wood except the wood of the olive tree and of the grapevines. Honey, my taima. Why can't you use these two? But papa, marmashim de katre. There's different opinions about what this katre means. Either because they have knots in them, and those knots contain moisture, and that causes it difficulty in burning. Or a katre means they create a lot of smoke. One of those two. Acha bar Yaakov, marmashim yishub de Eretz Yisrael. Because it destroys the settlement of Eretz Yisrael. These are two of the mainstay crops or livelihoods in Eretz Yisrael, the olives and the grapes. If you use the wood to burn, then you're going to take away what is the economic mainstay and sustenance of Eretz Yisrael, the ruin issue of Eretz Yisrael. The Mefarish says that this second answer does not preclude the first one. He's saying in addition to the fact that the other problems, there's also a problem with Mishu of Eretz Yisrael, Meitaveh. Al Yitzim Hashal Eish, Eitzim Anituchim Liot Eish. You have to take wood that is easy to make fire, that it makes the fire quickly. My nihu, what are these? Kirsos over here is dukrei shafir. Has to be these pieces of wood to lo katre, va'azli mikata mitocho. Has to be nice pieces of wood of branches that do not have knots that enter or go all the way into the wood, internally to the wood. Chi kol etzim kshirim lamaracha? Are all etzim good? The answer is hey, yes. Kol etzim kshirim chutz min hazayit ve'gefen. These are the wood that they normally brought. Again, the fig tree, shall it goes, the walnut tree, it shall its shemen, and the shemen tree. Belezer Mosif, for Belezer adds additional trees, av shall mayish, shall alon, shall dekel, shall charu, shall shikma. All these other trees, the mayish tree, the alon,
the oak tree,
dekel, the palm tree, charuv, the carob tree, and the shikma, which is the
sycamore.
Bishlam adaman damar mishum katre. According to one who says that the issue is the knots or the smoke, but how come ifligay? This is the machlok between the Tanakama and Rebbe Eliezer. The Marsover Af Al Gavdolo Kachemi Gavai came into Kachemi Barai Lumatina. They're knotted on the outside, even though the knots don't reach internally into the wood. We don't bring them. Umar Savar Velezer believes came to Lokachi Mikavai, since the knots don't reach internally. Even though they're small knots on the outside, then we do bring them. If you think the reason you shuv Eretz Yisrael, then why isn't a date tree also something that they wouldn't have brought the wood from? Can't be that's the reason, because then Rabbi Elazar wouldn't have permitted a date tree, which is another one of the core crops, core sustenance in Eretz Yisrael. According to your reasoning, what about Teina? About the fig tree. Fig tree is also one of the Shivat Aminim. And therefore, if you can't use the Zayit and the Geffen, why can you use the Teina? So how is Teina different than Dekel? Elamayit b'cholameymar, b'teina d'lo avida peret. Talking about a fig tree that does not bear fruit. Dekel nami, we're talking about a date tree, a palm tree, d'lo avid peret, that doesn't give fruit. Is there such a thing as a fig tree that doesn't give fruit? In kederuchava, just like the story of Rechava, damar Rechava, maitei teine chiruta, bring those white figs,
and you take these white fig trees, the shayfilahu bechavlo ditzavto, you use rope that is made of the bark of a palm tree, and you rub down these fig trees until you've removed the bark from them. The sarakale bizra, that will cause the seeds to fall out. Or according to the Meforesh, if you see seeds inside there, that you should take them out as well. According to the Rosh, this will remove or hurt the lev ha'ilan, the heart of the tree, which won't allow it to produce the fruit. And then v'kavre, and then you should plant it or bury it, hecha de mesik yama, sirton, where the rivers overflow, a place with a lot of moisture and water. This type of tree, kora avdo, peirlo avdo, it makes great bows, great beams, but it does not make any fruit. So therefore, by stopping to bear fruit, it makes the wood much better or bigger. Tlat breche minayu, and three beams from this tree, lamachakzalo gamla, a bridge will not be able to hold them up. They are so heavy and so strong that if you try to carry three of them across a bridge, the bridge will collapse under the weight of these beams.
All right, just to finish off the parak here. Sider et merachah gdola, my time Ravuna Rav Chista, chanamar kadei shetei aruach min hashevet ba. They made it east-west and left the window on the eastern side in order that the wind would blow in it to help to stoke the fire. So it was almost like a built-in bellow. That was the window from which they actually lit the kindling. The next line in the Mishnah is that they had a spacing that they left there in order to light the kindling. There were multiple windows to start the kindling or start the lighting, and therefore the Mishnah is mentioning both, but that there was gapping between the logs as well as the fact that the eastern side was open in order for the kindling to be lit. Or the other, again, was that it was a way to create some sort of wind tunnel through the wood that would allow it to be stoked automatically by the wind blowing from the eastern side. Okay, we'll stop over here.